Father, we do come before you, and we just thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate almost 2,000 years later your birth. Thank you for sending your Son. Lord, that you tell us that we can have life in his name. And so, Father, as you gave him as a gift to the world, not just once, Lord, you continue to give. And we thank you for that, Lord. So help us as your children to be willing to receive. Open up our ears to hear. But I just pray that, Lord, that you would stir up a greater desire to know you more. Lord, that through all this, these words and the things you have for us this morning, Lord, that we would, that you would just fan the flame within our hearts, Lord, that our lights would shine bright for this world around us, that they might see you clearly, Jesus. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. So I would suggest the way, or my thoughts, that I think this world still needs a baby Jesus. But not so much just a baby Jesus, but we need a God incarnate, a God who has come to live out this life here on earth so that we can be forgiven and cleansed. And I think that we're going to, as we look at the story of Jesus' birth, we're going to then go back to and say, understand that this wasn't just out of the blue, a plan B, but it was settled in heaven beforehand. And then what does that mean for us today? Since Christmas was over 2,000 years ago, what does Christmas mean for us today? It seems like the way things happen is the season gets so busy that we don't get to enjoy the reason for the season. And that is that we just don't get down to sit down and just be thankful for the life we have in Christ. But there's so many things that want to pull us to and fro, but it's not much different than any other day. But it seems like as there's things that want to bring us closer to the Lord, it seems like the world comes up with many distractions. And even good, godly things can distract us. And we can come to a place where it really doesn't impact us. And so we have to just ask the Lord to just continually to refresh us, to continue to bring about, breathe his life into us so that we can see daily that Christmas isn't just one day, but it's a life for us, an opportunity for us to live that same life that he offers for all of us. So I would like to take a look at some things. We're going to start Luke chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses. We're going to start in John chapter 1. I'll read that real quick. But if you want to turn to Luke chapter 2, I want to give you both sets of the forms of the gospel of Christ coming. And so as you're turning to Luke chapter 2, we're going to go to John 1:1. Actually, we're going to go to John 1:14, I'm sorry. Because we're starting with him coming. Then we're going to back up and then move forward. John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is John's presentation of Christmas. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we got to behold his glory, full of grace and truth. Now, a little bit expanded on that is in Luke. So we can look at Luke. And we're looking at Christmas evening or morning, because evening and morning. We're going to look at that first, and then we're going to back up a little bit, because that's my way of doing it. I'm sorry. So if somebody would like to read verses 1 to 20, and then we're going to look at that and then talk about a few things. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Anyone? Sure.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth. Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was his child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and made him manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is to be born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
Thank you. Heard that before, right? Many times. Well, let's just see if the Lord can breathe new life into it for us today. I just want to go back through some of these verses and just highlight a few of the words that are said, because later I'm going to bring them out again and try to bring them out in a way that we start here. I want to start with the birth of Christ, the coming forth here on Christmas Day. But then as we get into it, I wanted to develop for you that it didn't just happen. There were things that took place prior. There was a plan prior, that all these things were given and known before the foundation of the world, but they were mysteries to mankind. So the Lord is starting to open up and develop this life that he had. When God created mankind originally, he put them in a garden, right? And so he brought them an opportunity to have one choice, or one not choice, or one thing to choose not. And that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? We understand that. They had nothing wrong with them. They were naked and open before the Lord, and everything he saw and created was very good. But man failed. So God brings about the next step. And that is that he starts speaking to men, and they start talking about and have been building altars. And then we have the temple, where we talked about the last few weeks, where God has made it to where this is his place, where he's going to come and meet and dwell with you. And he's going to work strong on behalf so those around you can see and come and worship and bring about. So we see that, but that thing. So he's like, you know, the only way that this is going to really work is if I come and I do it. And that is the lesson that through, if you open up the scriptures, you will find that without him, you can do nothing. But with Christ, all things I can do through him and is pleasing to him. So the goal is at this time, this is when God said, here's the perfect plan. It's not that he didn't give them the opportunity and great opportunity, But it was set up for failure. Because when we're left to our own, we choose the wrong thing. We choose not to go after life. We choose for knowledge. We choose to be gods by ourselves without God. However you want to look at it. But that's what the good news about Christmas is, because God provides a way to fulfill our lacks and our lack and need. So I just want to go through here in chapter 2 and point out a few things that I thought were good that would help us to be able to live in a way that brings forth Christ to the world even today, so people can see Him and still enjoy Christmas for what it's meant to be. And that is that He didn't just come as a baby, He came to be a Savior. He came to lay down His life, to live a life surrendered to the Father, only doing the things that please the Father, only speaking the things the Father spoke, and finally humbling Himself and becoming obedient to the point of death. That's the good news the world needs. That's the good news you and I need daily to continue to press on towards that upward call, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we look at this in verse 10, well, I don't know about most of you ladies, like I've never been in childbirth, but you know, you think it's getting close, and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, I need you to travel a long distance. I know you're about ready to give birth, but we're going to have a little bit more inconvenience to take place here. Oh, and by the way, when you get there, there's not going to be any room for you. Good place to start for Mary. Now, who can tell me about how old Mary is here? You can spit it. Say, how old do we think Mary is?
I'm guessing teenager.
Yeah.
14 to 16 years old.
Teenager covers the window.
Yes. So do you think God has great expectations when He comes to a 13-year-old sending an angel to speak to her? To give her the opportunity to bring forth the Son of God forth through her life, to present Him to the world and to give Him over to the world? Would you do that today? It's the foolish things of the world that confound the wise. The Lord uses the weak to show Himself strong. So we have a young girl who was willing to yield and come and go. And there's a lot of things to prepare that, and I want to talk about that shortly. But in verse 10, we get there and it says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" An angel. It's just a messenger from God. Now we know that there are angels from heaven, spiritual beings that are sent forth to give a message. That's what they did. But in simplicity, the word angel means messenger. So what is the message of this angel, this messenger from God? What do they have to offer mankind? First, they say, don't be afraid. When they open up and reveal themselves to the shepherds, they say, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." As messengers of the Lord, this is the greatest opportunity to present to people, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Because this is the truth of the gospel. It is good tidings. The word good tidings means it's basically an announcement of great news to evangelize. That's what angels' purposes are, to send forth, speak the word of God. And what comes with that, when we come forth and we bring about great news and evangelize, it's to bring about a point, and that is great joy. And that joy that we have is considered a cheerfulness, but a calming delight. Look, in this world where it seems like everything's being pulled down and ripped off, you need a messenger to come alongside of you to say, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. I bring you a message that wants to bring you to a place that in this fallen, perverse world, that you can come to a place of a calming delight. And that happens when you're introduced to a Savior. It says, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ meaning anointed, a Messiah. Lord is supreme in authority. See, if you want to bring about an opportunity for people to have good tidings and great joy, introduce them to Jesus, who is anointed by God. He's the Messiah, the one that we need, the one who is sent. But He's not only just the anointed one, He's also the supreme in all authority. That Jesus even said, all authority has been given to me. Now I give it to you, correct? So we see that Christ, when He came as a baby, was anointed and supreme. And He still is today. He's anointed and supreme. He's a controller. The great control. He's in control of all things, even though it says that we might not see these things under His feet yet, but we're told that He is Lord. Verse 11 says, is born to you this day. It's interesting that word born there is to produce. From seed, as a mother, a plant, the earth, etc. You see, these words are terms of life, to bring forth. When Jesus came, it says He's coming today. He's been born, brought forth to you today. He's been produced from a seed, from a mother, for all people, for all times. The next thing we see that's said is these shepherds were given a sign. You'll find a babe lying in wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I'm pretty sure most kids were wrapped the same way. But those same clothes in many ways were used, or the same wrappings were the same things they used for death. For Lazarus. They take off his wrappings, the same thing, to keep him covered, lying in a manger. And then after the angels got to proclaim what the Lord had given them to proclaim, what did they do? There was with them, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You see, when you get to walk in the fulfillment of what God allowed you to walk out in, as these angels did, and they got to present a Savior to the world, it was all that they were created for, is to bring God glory and honor and to send this message. And when they were done, they rejoiced. And I find that that's true many times, that, and I think all of us know that as the Lord reveals something to us and we just get out there and just by faith just share it and just start to see that the Lord's working, that there's great joy in our lives because we got to see that the Lord allowed us to be that messenger that brought hope of a Savior to a lost world. Or just to build up and to encourage believers. So it was when the angels had gone away from them in heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. One of the things that I find, the heavens just opened and these guys saw angels, and then now they're like, let's go and find out if what they said is true. Let's go see what God has said. One of the things that we find as we walk with the Lord and He speaks to our hearts is that you're going to find the things that He said to be true. As you go out after them to look for them, you're going to find that they're true. And it's going to give you a reason to rejoice, just like these shepherds. In verse 15 says, the angels are going away to heaven, that the shepherds said, let us go. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Look, guys, today if you will hear His voice, don't harden your heart. You know, when the Lord speaks, go with haste in it. Walk in the reality of the things He's showing you. Trusting Him, not yourselves, because we can't do it alone. We have to have that Savior come to us. So, verse 17, and now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So basically, they got to repeat what the angel said. You see, once when the Lord reveals something to you, and then you make haste and go and run after it, and then He makes it clear to you that He was right, the next step is you tell everybody. So then you become the same thing as the angel before, and it's a continual message. And it's true that we need to come to a place, well, we do come and realize the things that He has told us to be true. What's Jesus say? I tell you these things beforehand so that then when they take place, you'll know that it is Me. The Word has always been there. It's there for us so that we can learn and grow. And it's there beforehand so that we can see it and know that it's Him. And all these who heard marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. You know, sometimes you can share things that the Lord lays on your hearts and people just marvel. Sometimes they're marveling that they think you're crazy. And sometimes they're marveling because they don't understand because they haven't been part of it and they didn't hear the Word of God. They can just see that there's something different about you. Or they can marvel with a hunger and a desire to know the same things you do. But I like Mary because it says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word kept here, when it says Mary kept these, it talks about to keep closely together. To mentally to remember. It's to bring back to remember, like what was said to her prior. What was said to her here this day. Look, she's been going through a lot of things as a teenager. I mean, they make TV shows now about them. You know, but there's an awesome thing going on here that the Lord's working. And Mary's not taking it lightly. She's continuing to think about what's being said. And then it says that she ponders all these things. That means to combine that in speaking, to converse, consult, dispute, or to consider. So she's just not like taking it lightly, the things that are being done and said to her. She's keeping it and pondering. It means that she's holding on to it and she's taking other things that are being said and she's putting it all together. It's how we come and use the Word of God, a little bit here, a little bit there, so that we can come and see a fullness of Christ throughout the whole world, through the whole Word, and we get a full picture of who He is and the salvation that we have for our souls. So with looking at these few things, we see that when Christ comes as a baby or and is just brought forth, it brings great joy to many people. It gives great many people for a testimony. And it leaves a lot of great other people pondering and wondering and keeping these things in their mind. Is this true? What's going on? What's happening? Well, the cool thing about all this is that this was planned way before. You know, it says that, well, we'll just look at it. Revelation 13:8, you don't have to turn there. But it says all who, speaking of those who are non-believers, it says all who dwell on the earth will worship Him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And see, when I read this the first time, way back when I got saved, I found out and realized that Jesus dying on the cross for us was not just a second thought. It was the plan before Genesis 1:1 when it says, "In the beginning, God." It was settled in heaven that Jesus was going to come to the earth as a baby to save people from their sins. It's good news for all. It's great joy. The opportunity for, because He won't force anyone, and we're going to learn that. We find that also that in John 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see that we know that all the things that were spoken before in heaven are true. They're going to work out as God planned. He prepared. His desire is for Himself to be with humanity. Let us make man in our image. Man failed. God's plans didn't. The only way He could make it work is by sending His Son. So He gives His Son. And we know that He became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I'm trying to weave this and figure out how I want to say some of these things. But there has to be a point in time for each of us that Christ is born, right? For our salvation. Right, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is the purpose that He came. And God did not send His world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. It wasn't a bad thing that He came, it was a good thing. We need salvation, and Jesus came to deliver salvation for us. Yes, He had to die so that we could live. But that's the purpose of remembering all of Christmas. We don't just remember Him as a baby. We understand that He grew in full maturity and came and laid down His life to die for us so that we could be forgiven. So that we could enjoy that good tidings with great joy. So when I kind of consider Christmas, and for me, I told some people, if you had texted me Sunday, I would have said, yes, ask Him. Because I was frustrated. Like, you get so run down with the seasons and stuff. But how do I live a life with anticipation, knowing that Christ wants to speak to me and speak through me, not just me, everyone? And how does Christmas bring life to me today? It happened so long ago. Or how do I live a life that will produce Christ for the world to see? Because Mary gives us the answer. And we're going to go back in Luke 1 and look at what takes place prior to Christ coming. You know, Christ was here on Christmas, but there were things that took place beforehand that brought about that the world could receive Christ. Right? And so, you ready to read a little more? Luke 1:26-45, and what my desire is to pull out a few things that in this interaction between the angel and Mary, to say to you that it's the same way Christ wants to work, present Himself to the world today.
"Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid of me, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.
Thank you. Everybody see all them things there? They're all right there? Good, you can describe. All right, now. So as we go through, we see that another messenger is coming in to speak for the Lord. And, you know, Mary has a choice here. That's something to remember. She could have said, no thanks. There's opportunities here. She had to respond like she did at the end, let it be to me according. Right? Because God is gentle. God is willing to yield, and He will not force Himself upon us. But He loves when we choose to let Him enter in. And so, I want you to see what the angel says to Mary, because he says, Rejoice, highly favored, the Lord is with you. In your Bible, you'll see the word one, and it's probably in italics, I think, at least it is in mine, which means it's there for your easier learning. Is it true that the angel was speaking to her specifically to one person? Yes. But is the angel still speaking? Is he speaking to us today? I would say yes. A messenger from the Lord should be saying, Hello, highly favored one. God's with you. I can say that about everyone in here. Because God looks favorably upon the earth. If He didn't, none of this would be going on. Jesus would have never been sent. Right? So He says, highly favored. That means that you're in good standing. And then He comes back and says, don't fear. You know, the first time when the Lord's presented to us and you see Him in His beauty and of everything and someone's coming for you, there is an awe that should take place and a little gentle fear that comes around like, well, I hope there's a fear there that says, I'm not worthy. But we're told in verse 30 He says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. This right here is one of the beginning stages of the Lord working to where He can form Himself in you, that you can be a part of giving Him to the world. When you hear in the Word of God that you're favored, and what Mary comes to believe is that she found that favor with God. Right? The angel said, you have it, and she believed it, so she found it. It's the same for us. You need to understand that you are highly favored before a loving Creator who loves you enough to come to you and say, rejoice. Be glad. Don't fear. You found favor with God. And what's her response? How can this be? Right? If we have a true and honest conversation with the Lord, we should come back and say, how can this be that you see me favorably? It should bring us to a place of humility and respect. In verse 35, Mary gets told how it happens. In the same way that Christ is formed in Mary, is the same way Christ is formed in you today. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. You see, when we get in front of the Word of God, it takes the Holy Spirit to come inside. To come alongside the Word of God. To breathe life into it. And it says the Highest to overshadow you. I'm just going to be blunt here. This is speaking of intimacy. Sorry. PG teaching. Maybe PG-13 by the time I'm done. Because the Lord wants to be intimate with you. He wants you to open up your heart and receive what He has for you. You need to see your favor. You need to receive it. That verse 36, he says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, is in her 6th month of her, who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. How old is Elizabeth? Anybody know?
She was 40s.
I'm sorry?
Wasn't she in her 40s? I thought she was barren for quite some time.
I thought she was 90.
We know that she's barren, well advanced, and could not have children. So we have a young girl who shouldn't be having children, and we have an older person having children. So it runs the whole gambit. That if we're willing to hear and receive from the Lord, whether a young child or an older person, that the Lord can do miracles within your life. Because with God, all things are possible. The answer is, how do these things take place? What happens? Where do we go? But it is kind of interesting here, the way the Lord works, just so you know, as a young believer, the Lord will show you someone who's older, who He's been working in, to send you to bring comfort, to bring encouragement, and just to show you that God's moving in other places other than you. And that there's life out there other than what's going on inside of you. To encourage one another, to build one another up. And how does Elizabeth encourage Mary? It's the last verse that we read. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mature believers, here's how you encourage young believers. There will be a fulfillment of the things you believe. It's an encouragement to continue on. You see what God's doing, now press on. He wants to continue to move forward. But in this, we get the answer of how Christ comes to the world, and that is when someone's willing to believe and receive the things that are spoken from God. At that time when it becomes intimate, the Lord wants to overshadow you. As you I read the word, in John I read what I call the Christmas story. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The reason why I read that is because many times throughout the Scriptures we see the Word of God, Jesus as the Word. He's the fulfillment of the Word. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, is what he says, right? So this whole thing speaks of Christ. And he wants us to come to a place that he wants an intimate relationship. I don't know how to do that. This is really what's on my heart. Ladies, I'm just going to say it. Don't you look at your husbands a lot? Is that all that's on your mind? Have you ever said that? No? Minnie probably knew I was going to say it. That's why she's not here. But maybe it's twisted, but there's a reason that men are designed the way they are. And that is to give a picture of how the Heavenly Father always has a desire for intimacy with His bride. He wants you to open yourself up to Him and yield yourself to Him just like you do when you close your secret door and you and your better half have intimate moments. When you open up His Word, He wants you to open up your heart to receive from Him all that He has for you. And when intimacy happens, seeds are planted. Right? I mean, we do talk biology, it's okay. You know? But when the seed's planted, it's not just for the seed, it's to bring forth life. You see, God wants to be so intimate with each of us so that it's just not one person like Mary at that time bringing forth Christ to the world, but that each of us daily as we sit before His feet and say, Lord, do unto me as Your Word has spoken. Breathe life into my life. Allow me to step up and rejoice in the fact that You came to save me from me. From this crazy world. But the Lord's desire is for intimacy, to open you up, for you to believe and receive. And that's what Mary did. Because her final response was, let it be unto me according to Your word. And you see, when Mary entered into that place where she said, let it be, at that point in time, the Father, the Holy Spirit, was able to overshadow her. And it wasn't long. We don't know exactly how long or the exact moment, but we know it wasn't long because she ran, and by the time she got to Elizabeth, the baby was formed within her. Paul says in Galatians, I labor until Christ is formed in you. Paul had a laboring desire to see the Christ in here to come forth from each of you. And he knows that it can happen, and it happens the same way it did when it happened with Mary. Yes, it might take time. It took 9 months before Jesus was revealed. But guess what? It didn't take 9 months for Joseph to know. That even while she was still with child, Joseph's like, something's not right here. You're gaining a little weight. He needed a warrant, right? Told the same thing. He said that you know, it's easier to have all the notes on the page. But you know what I find when I have them all here? I don't go and look at them and take the time to just search it out. So I like searching it out. that you're stuck in sometimes. Now the birth, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows: after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. The Lord had different plans. But behold, here we come with the messenger again. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the reason why it was done is so that all might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, Joseph said he was a just man and didn't want to put... Okay, well, so they were betrothed. They weren't married. She shouldn't have been pregnant. We all understand this, right? I'm trying to watch what I say. Somewhat. But at some point, Isaiah decided to say that a virgin shall conceive, but that son is going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you see, the thing is today is the virgin, as not virgin, but as we, as the Lord is conceived into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we also find that God is with us. And as we walk and go into this world, those around us are going to see and hopefully decide to want to follow after and come near Him. I don't have a whole lot more here, but I just found that the way Jesus and the Father worked with Mary and the way Mary responded, I think it's beautiful for a teenager, whether a boy, girl, was able to respond in such humility to know they needed a Savior. They only found it because they realized they found that they were favored. If you don't realize that you're highly favored, and that God looks down on you with thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope, you're not going to want to go after Him. That needs to be settled in your heart. That's why He tells us beforehand, so that when we hear it, we can receive it and know it's from Him. We're told, I use the word and the seed and all these things, just so you understand that same word sent forth, it might not be the exact thing is Mary, but it is true that the Lord wants to open up His Word to bring forth, that it becomes, like in Hebrews, it says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the vision of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You see, He gives us His Word to cut back and forth, but it's living and powerful. And see, that seed wants to come alive in your life and cut away the things that are not of His, to open up, to bring forth light into the things that are God's, that you might be able to come to a place where you just say, yes, Lord. It has to happen in you personally first, like with Jesus with Nicodemus, right? That light needs to be produced in you first before it can be presented to the world. I first must have to receive from the Lord before I can give. I have nothing to offer if I don't receive it. If I don't receive His Word and allow it to come into my life, I have nothing to offer anyone of hope. Because it's the Word of the Lord, right? What did the angels say to all the messengers? Who did everyone they talked to? Joseph, the shepherds, and Mary? Thus says the Lord. You see, the messenger knows what the Lord wants to say, and he brings it to bring life, good tidings, great joy. So for you and I think, for me, to remember, 1 Peter tells us as newborn babes that we should desire the pure milk of the Word, so that we can grow thereby, and that Christ can be formed in us. And then James tells us to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And I think it's awesome because the word's going out. And the opportunity is to you to accept and believe and receive. Right? The gift of Jesus is there. You need to open him up. First, personally. And I know most of you have come to that place that is personal, but he doesn't want it to be personal because the gift he gave you is a gift to the world. Just like Mary. Just like the rest of us, that when you receive it, that he wants you to go out and share and bring light to those around and bring joy. But it only comes through intimacy. That when he can come and shed abroad and that you set aside and you can come to a place that you just say, let it be according to your word. Lord, I need salvation. You're here for me. You've come to give me life. Help me to walk in the life you have for me. And by doing that, I know that your life is going to be produced as a seed in my life, and it's going to bear forth fruit as I abide, waiting on, trusting in, and relying on you. And that becomes the life, the word that's out there for the rest of the world. The opportunity for the world to see a loving God who wants to come into them and make them new so that they can continue the Christmas story. So, with that said, I'm sorry if I went too long, but any thoughts, questions, subtractions, additions? Need coffee? Well, good. Then it must have come clear, or you're still wondering what I just said. Either way, God's in control. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us as orphans. And you haven't left us in a way that we don't know you. Lord, you've given us your word. Lord, would just help us to have a meekness about us, the willing to yield our will to you. But Lord, a lot of times we need to see that we're highly favored. And the need we have is you, Jesus. So help us to see more clearly how much more we need you to make it through our day-to-day living. And we know that through all that, Lord, that we will be that temple you want to be so that those who don't know you, they can come and see how good you are. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.